Will you pray with me? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The psalmist in Psalm 139 writes, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Fearfully, an archaic word meaning awesomely. Repeat after me. I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
One more time, loud so God can hear it and our people in Copley Square can hear it. I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
How does that make you feel? Feels good? Feels good? You have permission to say that. The psalmist said it, right? To say, I am fearfully and wonderfully made is no compliment to you. You don't get the credit. You didn't make you. It's a compliment to God. Give God the glory. Amen?
Amen.
For the past two Sundays, we have explored two biblical commandments to love. First, we explored love of neighbor. Last Sunday, we explored love of family. Today the spotlight shines on you. Today it's about love of self, your love for yourself. And hear me, church, because I'm not sure all of you know this. It's okay to love yourself. Amen?
Amen.
More than okay, it's a biblical commandment. God asks it of us. So let's review. Jesus said, love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. This is the first commandment and the greatest commandment. But near to it, a close second and intertwined with the first, love your neighbor how much? As you love yourself. Today we invite you to ponder and learn to practice this sacred undertaking. After all, in the words of the psalmist, you are indeed, in fact, undeniably, certifiably, fearfully, and wonderfully made. We have it on biblical authority, and who are you to deny that? So what does love of self look like? What does it feel like? Maybe it looks like Jesus and his disciples caring for themselves, loving themselves by retreating from the world with all its ills and all its demands. Retreating, as they did often regularly, they practiced a rhythm of engagement and retreat, engagement and retreat. Retreating for a while from the sick needing healing and the sinner needing forgiveness and the lame needing mending, and the blind needing sight, and the hungry needing filling. Maybe loving yourself looks a little like that, like retreat. I dare say, turning your back on the world, not for good, not forever, but in order to refuel, refresh, rest up for your next foray into human need. Jesus did it, so should you. Maybe it looks like putting your feet up now and again and listening to your favorite all-time music. Maybe it feels like dancing. Maybe it looks like reading or traveling or painting. Maybe it smells like inhaling the scent of lavender. Maybe self-love is treating your taste buds with turns at salty, sour, bitter, sweet, and savory. Putting the taste buds God gave you through their paces. delighting in the gift of taste, of palate and tang and flavor. Maybe loving yourself tastes like ice cream on your tongue. After all, Jesus was at the center of so many feasts that his followers were labeled gluttons and drunkards. They were not gluttons or drunkards, but neither did they live lives of abstinence and self-denial. On the contrary, Jesus invited them to savor life, and he led the way. He showed them how. And maybe Jesus learned this self-love from the book of Nehemiah, which reads, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared." Maybe he learned it from the book of Ecclesiastes, which says this, "Oh, eat your food with gladness, and drink your wine with a joyful heart. For God has already approved what you do." Listen to that again. "Oh, eat your food with gladness and drink your wine with a joyful heart." The Bible says that. Who knew? Maybe self-love looks like the shepherds there, the shepherds lost in reverence and awe, the shepherds who have turned for a moment from the cares of the sheep, the cares of the world, and who are simply caught up into the purposes of heaven. Maybe self-love looks like reverence and awe and indulgence in mystery and miracle, splendor and grandeur. Maybe self-love looks like Psalm 47:1, "Clap your hands and shout to God with cries of joy." Now, I have to be honest. I suspect that some of us annoy God endlessly, that others of us break God's heart on a daily basis. We are the prodigal son. We are the rich young man. We are the workers early to the vineyard. We are the lost sheep, the ones who have strayed and erred from God's ways. But I have news for you. God loves you anyway. So it's okay. It's okay to love yourself. Some of us, maybe most of us, don't manage to love our enemies as the Bible tells us we should do. It's hard. Some of us, maybe most of us, find it impossible to forgive those who hurt us. It's hard. Some of us nurse grudges and fail to turn the other cheek. God loves you anyway, so it's okay to love yourself. Now, I know you know this, but I have to say it anyway. Your value, your worth, do not come from what you achieve, although this sanctuary is filled with achievers. Your value and your worth do not come from what you possess, though the sanctuary is filled with possessors. Your value and your worth do not come from what others think of you. They come from the highest source of all, from the God who made you, who names and claims you, who made you in God's own image and likeness. Imagine that. They come from the God who knows you better than you know yourself and who loves you anyway. Somebody say amen. Amen. That's a fact. God loves you. And there's actually not a lot you can do about that. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Here's what I know, because the Bible tells me so. You and your life are sanctified, holy, because you, each of you, is an expression and creation of God's own handiwork. And there's no call for false modesty here, for it's God who made you and not you yourselves. Consider this. God is inside you. In Paul's words, your body is a temple. Whatever sort or color of body you have, no matter who you love, your body is a dwelling place for God's own spirit. Somebody say, Amen.
Amen.
You who are fearfully and wonderfully made, consider this. First thing in the morning, last thing at night, say to yourself three times, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And maybe just throw open the window and put your head out and yell out to the world, hey world, guess what? I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Can you imagine that? Imagine everyone shouting that every morning out their windows. The world would be a different place, all right? Don't forget to thank God for it. After all, the credit is not to you. The credit is to God. Love yourself. Care for yourself. Delight in the gifts and graces of being human. Of taste and touch and sound and aroma and sight. Delight in rest and leisure. Luxuriate in leisure, at least now and again. And in activities that are pleasurable and that give you gladness. And this, smile. Smile. You can't smile without feeling better. Doesn't your whole mood change when you smile? So I say smile more. And I also want to note that I preached a whole sermon on this years ago, way before Hamilton. So here's the deal, here's the bargain. If you love yourself enough, you will find the fortitude, the strength, and the endurance to go out there and fight another battle another day. If you love yourself enough, you will find the fortitude and the strength and the endurance to fight for love in a loveless world. To fight for peace in a violent world. To fight for justice in an unjust world. To fight for kindness, human kindness, in a merciless world. To fight for hope, to posit hope in a despairing world. To fight for your children and your grandchildren's future. To fight for God's good news in a world jam-packed, packed to the gills with bad news. And when you look at it like this, from a biblical perspective, through God's own eyes, love of self isn't selfish or self-serving or self-centered. Quite the opposite. It is good and it is godly. It is necessary to a life well lived. Look at you, just look at you. I feel as if I am seeing you through God's eyes. And here's what I see. You are fearfully and wonderfully made.